Hopefully we got these audio issues fixed. Sorry about that, folks. It's been one of those nights. So, got Joe and got Jeff called back in. Should be good now. And Joe, yeah, I have been kind of curious about this whole, like, reset thing. Especially, you know, when I really started to think about these world fairs and, you know, their explanation for, you know, all these huge, elaborate, like, insane asylums that they supposedly built for these, you know, insane people, and then, you know, just the whole storyline doesn't make any sense when you really think about it. You know, these great fires and, you know, San Francisco and Chicago. It doesn't make any sense.
According to their narrative, it doesn't make sense.
Right.
But when you start putting the facts together, then it makes perfect sense that every 150 years, they cull the herd. There's a channel that I watch every week. He's got less than 70 videos up right now. He puts up one every week. He's looking at the world population according to their statistics as to what it was 500 years ago. And at the percentage of growth of population, he's now going backwards and looking at it wasn't too long ago that there may have been maybe a million people. Kind of hard to build all these things, especially building these buildings, as they say, in a year, 5 years. Gothic cathedrals, and then all of a sudden stone burns.
Right.
And this can be dated back even to the Greek and Roman period, where these buildings, you know, they're buried or whatever, they show charred marks. Something takes place, and I think they try and change narratives and change the story and keep people distracted from picking up on these things. And due to the advent of the internet, a lot of people starting to put the pieces together and say, hey, you people have lied about our history and who we are and what we are and where we come from and what we're capable of creating. We're the only species on this planet that pays to exist, and it's not supposed to be that way.
Right. Well, yeah.
We're about to go through it again.
True. Well, you got all these megalithic structures throughout the world. You know, they all built these pyramids in all these continents, all these countries, different countries around the world. And, you know, like, I don't even think they could build half the stuff that they built.
Shit,
you know,
it's not even the pyramids. It's the damn starports. They dwarf
the starports.
The pyramids in the size and scope and the amount of them. It's unreal. For every pyramid you have 1,000 starports. These things took way more work than a pyramid, but they don't want you to look at them.
Built in places where the material's not even prevalent there. You know, they're going to tell you stories that, you know, they pulled stone from Aswan and all these quarries in Egypt and carried it down the Nile. No.
Right. I don't think so.
And those are different points of human history that existed. The star forts weren't built when the pyramids were built. All the pyramids around the earth were built, whether it's Mayan, Incan, Aztec, you know, Bosnian, the ones in the Middle East or in China. It doesn't matter where the pyramids are. That architect or that civilization created those pyramids during that era of human history. The star forts were built at a different era. And then all the Gothic right. cathodes or cathedrals, as they call them, they're cathodes. They're electrical devices. Somehow they harvested the energy. And people go to church in them now thinking that they're getting healed and saved. Well, back in the day, people went to these places and actually got healed and saved. But it wasn't by, you know, doing all these rituals. It was by the healing waters and the tonal qualities of how these buildings were built. Mankind's just been able to manipulate it over time. Somehow, we lost this technology, or they're hiding it from us.
Right. I think they're hiding it from us.
Well, when you think about them building stuff, I mean, like there's a picture everybody has seen, which is a British boat that they had to cut a hole in the front of it to haul this obelisk back to England. And everybody's seen it, this boat, this huge, huge boat, like the size of the Titanic, with a hole cut in the front of it with the tip of an obelisk sticking out of it.
Right.
And you think, well, if they needed that boat to haul that obelisk, which wasn't even half as big as some of the stones that you find in a lot of these places, well...
How big was right. the boat they had back then?
Yeah.
Right.
How big was that boat? It must have dwarfed the Titanic.
And keep in mind, they didn't have power tools.
No.
Or at least we're told that. They were just getting done dragging their knuckles and wearing loincloths at this time.
Or you look at old pictures of city in America. There's right. nobody there. The streets are empty. There ain't no horses. There ain't no people. Nothing. Might see a couple of stragglers standing around somewhere next to a tent in the middle of an intersection or something, and you're just like, well, who built all that? And you're like, oh, well, Frederick Johnson designed, was the architect, and they built this building in a year and a half, and a year later they tore it down.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
And been four other ones on that same site, but yet it's still the first one there.
Right.
Right. And it's preposterous. Like some of these stories that they have of these, you know, these supposed old buildings, it's just crazy if you go read their official storylines. It's like, what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's almost as if it's written by artificial intelligence, because the storyline will reoccur the same names, the same number of buildings being rebuilt on that location, all of them being destroyed by a fire, which that's part of the narrative, the tip of the hat that they give to the story or to the people that's in the know that, yeah, we destroyed that one. I mean, you look at old pictures of Dresden before it was turned to rubble. That had some of the oldest, biggest buildings in the world.
And some cool tech.
Yes.
Right.
They had to bomb that place. I think places like Hiroshima, Nagasaki, I think those places had some stuff too. Some remnants.
Right. But don't forget, before they bombed Dresden, just don't forget, they made sure to drive all the German people they could to Dresden because they all were running for their lives. Then they bombed Dresden with like 400,000 people there.
Well, no, it was more like 4 million. That was the corpses that they needed for the death camps. Absolutely.
Yeah. When you bring up the size of some of these cities that they found, so to speak, abandoned, these cities big enough to hold 4 million people, like St. Petersburg, mm-hmm. huge city.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, man.
They found it. You've got cities big enough to hold more than the world population at that time.
That's yeah, Peter the Great rolls up into St. Petersburg. He doesn't even speak Russian, but somehow He can organize them people to build. And, man, if you want to talk about some stuff that you ain't never seen and ain't never going to see anywhere else, go to St. Petersburg. There's some stuff in St. Petersburg that boggles the mind. Mm-hmm. But it was supposedly done by poor farmers who didn't even speak the English of their dear leader, Peter the Great.
Is that really the storyline they got for that?
Yeah, that's exactly the storyline. I mean, they call it St. Petersburg, but I don't know what it was called before he showed up.
But you have cities this big all over the place. The world did not have the population at the time they're saying these cities existed when they were built or founded. Yeah, they found them and then renamed them. But they were pre-existing cities that weren't destroyed.
Yeah, if you look at the populations and the size of the fucking buildings and all that stuff, you would say, well, that means that every individual that lived there at that time, you know, in the late 1800s, that they all had, you know, 300,000 square feet to themselves. Like, they just had just whole gymnasiums to themselves.
Right.
Well,
that was the other confusing thing when they start talking about these whole like baby incubators, and you remember
yeah.
hearing about that kind of weird stuff?
Yeah, all the world's fairs with the baby incubators, yeah.
But they had to do something with all the children because you brought up insane asylums. You mean to tell me a building, just one building, can hold 1,000 beds? Where's all the children to all these parents that you put in there and cracked their skulls or lobotomized them or killed them or experimented on them? You know, this is during the same time Jack the Ripper is running around and, you know, medical science is coming of age. So they were doing a lot of experimentation on people. But you mean to tell me you got 1,000 people just in one area that's lost their mind, but yet all these orphan trains from Europe to America pop up? With kids being right. transferred and incubator babies probably ripped from the womb.
Yeah, if you look at all the pictures, even from the 1920s and 30s, that like the manufacturing plants and stuff like that, all that's in them is kids, barefooted, dirty, snot-nosed kids running all these equipment and machines and stuff like that, and you're going, wait a minute.
Right.
How does that work?
And what's up with all these maps showing this country called Tartaria that none of us ever learned about in school? Like, I never heard about this thing until somewhat recently.
The Tartars, the Tartars are still alive. The Tartarians are still alive. It is a region around Russia and Ukraine. Tartaria, like even Putin has mentioned the Tartars. I mean, they're not like a foreign people that disappeared. They're still there.
If you watch the movie The 13th Warrior with Antonio Banderas, they were the Muslim people traveling and got hooked up with the Viking people. But as they were traveling, you could hear the Muslim people that he's traveling with. They say the Tartars, and they feared these people.
Mm-hmm.
They got out of Dodge real fast. And that's around the time I started hearing about the Tartars, the Tartarian stuff going on, was from that mouth, because I was like, well, who's the Tartars? And why do these people, the Muslims, fear them? And that was during the time of Salah al-Din, during that era.
Right.
But I think that was just another civilization of people that existed. Maybe they were the ones that built all the big walls, or the ones that, you know, had a hand in the cathedrals or something. But they got wiped out too. It's like
Well, I mean, like you could even look at like the Great Wall of China. Well, you'd say, well, you know, they've always said, well, it's the Great Wall of China, but it's not the Great Wall of China. If you walk along that wall, you'll see that the defense side of the wall points into China, not outward.
Mm-hmm.
But what China that built it? It was whoever bordered China built it,
which was probably the Romans, the real Romans, not the storybook
Mongolians.
Romans.
or the Mongolians.
Right. Well, what's that rumor that the Mongolians are the ones that really control China, but then I'm sure the Jews really control Mongolia, right?
Well, the Mongols are the only ones who are not integrated into the Russian. I mean, they're in the Russian army, and they fight with Russia, but they keep them to themselves. They let them have whole battalions all to themselves, and they speak their language. They don't speak Chinese. They don't speak Russian. They speak something else. And even like if you listen to Mongolian music and stuff like that, these guys can hum and whistle and sing at the same time.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
They can do crazy noises. They can do the craziest noises with their throats and their noses and their mouths and really crazy sounding stuff. And the Mongols, they're like in history, like they're the ones that nobody wanted to see coming at all. Nobody wanted to see a bunch of Mongolians coming driving in on you, because that meant death.
Right.
Isn't Mongolia the place that has that temple that still has the Antiquitech still working?
Yeah, did you see the ball of plasma floating around the top of it?
We showed that one time.
Yeah, and that's what I think they've been hiding from everybody, is this way that they can basically generate this energy for free, but instead they got us all paying into this slave-based system. And
I don't know. I think that they would still use it if it was available. I don't think that it's available anymore. I think that the Earth has changed enough that, you know, it's just not like that anymore.
That's possible.
I don't think that the Russians would be using it. The Mongolians would be using it. They wouldn't, you know, I think that every now and again, that's why, you know, the video that I used to show on the stream of the plasma ball floating around this temple, you know, even they hadn't seen it. They had only heard about it, and that's why they took the video. It's like they got the only one and only video camera in the whole town to videotape it, you know, and, you know, they're... Things change on the Earth. The Earth changes. The atmosphere changes. Everything changes. So there's no telling what people used to use back then that's not even available now.
Right.
You know, if you would have showed somebody back then oil and said oil can do this and oil can do that, they'd be like, we ain't got oil. What are you talking about? Oil. What is this oil?
Right.
You know, when they traipsed into America, when the French traipsed into America, man, there was lakes of oil. Absolute lakes of oil. Well, it wasn't there originally, but it did come somehow, some way. The Earth does, the Earth is big. I mean, the deepest anybody's ever drilled is like, what, 10 miles or something like that?
Eight miles, and it was
eight
the
miles?
Russians.
You know, so that's like skin deep when it comes to the Earth. That's like, you know, just being able to stick a needle just like right past the skin of your body, right? I mean, it's 8 miles is nothing, absolutely nothing. There's no telling what's going on inside you all the time. They don't even know. They don't know where all the magma is. They don't know where anything. They don't know. Hell, they lost a core. A core out of a nuclear power plant in Japan after a tsunami years ago. They don't have any idea where it's at. Just gone.
Nope. It's gone.
Just gone.
Now, if the Earth's a globe, then I expect it to pop out anywhere on this side, you know, any day. I mean, it immediately contaminated the ocean. And how much time was that, Jeff?
6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, after 6 months, they turned off all the underwater sea cameras that were available to everybody on the internet. You could jump right on them, jump right on those cams, just like you can jump onto a live camera down at Myrtle Beach right now. You could jump right onto the live cams down at the bottom of the ocean, but now you can't.
Really? Why'd they shut them off? You see all the dead sea
because
life?
Because all the sea life, that's what the, because people were talking about all the sea life that was dead. Shortly thereafter, bam, cameras go down.
Wow. All right, hang tight, guys. We got a quick break. Be right back.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafin, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty, whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen. These courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. Illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Anyways, we got good conversation going here about the all the hidden history, and I've been wanting to talk about this for a little while. I'm glad you guys are on here with me because you guys definitely been around checking this stuff out, and we do got a caller. I want to give the caller a couple minutes to come in real quick, but I'm going to keep it short, so if anybody else wants to call in, we got a half hour left, but right now we got Reb in Colorado. Reb.
Yeah.
Reb, can you keep it? Can you keep it short, sir?
Yeah, Reb. Hey, baby.
How you doing, buddy?
Are you still driving on recon? We're doing our recon mission, but we're waiting for real combat troops and the real firepower that's going to get these enemies dead. That's what we're all about. Stop the Pentagon. And by the way, Travis, I found out some stuff about that state of Colorado issue. I'd have to talk to you another time about it, okay?
All right, that sounds good, buddy. I appreciate you calling in, man. What's that? Go ahead. I dropped him. Oh, man. Damn it, Mike. No, I like Reb. He's good. You know, he's just got a story that it's hard for him to get out when he calls. You know, he feels pressured. He's only got a couple minutes. Nobody wants to listen. And I've talked to Reb a little bit, and it's just hard to get out really what he's got going on. But anyways, one of these days we'll try to get the story out from him. Reb, you got to be quick, buddy. I got a lot of other stuff I got to cover. Quickly.
Yeah, well, I can't tell you all the details about the state of Colorado issue, but National Command Center, we're going to get troops in here and start killing fuckers. This is unreal what's going on. And the people in America, they're not going to do a damn thing about it. And we can't get any of these militia groups. What the hell are they waiting for? Oh, I know. They're on the enemy's timetable. You always get beat when you're on the enemy's timetable. So you look us up, bug us out, Reb. Tell everybody you got.
Right.
I'll talk to you. You can call me tomorrow morning if you want. But
right
now, your only choice is war now. Don't wait. And I'm telling you, or else kiss your ass goodbye. It's war time. Thanks a lot.
All right, later, buddy. Hey, man, at least he's always got a cheerful attitude.
Hell yeah, so kill them all.
Don't get him talking about Bubba, though. Holy moly.
Oh, shit, no. Well,
Bubba Scott Rem.
Pumped up. You know, I wish he was, if he's in his 70s, I wish he was 30, 40 years younger with that same fire. You know, unfortunately, it's the older fellas like that that see it's experience. More so than people our age, I guess, that, you know, watch this country and this world come completely apart. When they're
right,
they're
and what he was talking about, what's really concerns me is he got some letter from, he's retired on Social Security, but he got some sort of letter that they're going to force them to pick up some sort of coverage that they have to pay.
Uh-huh.
It's really ridiculous.
And if he wants to continue coverage, he will have to go and get that shot in the booster. That'll be all added into it as well, just like people that get housing and things like that. They all got those forced incentives or whatever. I mean, that's coming. We've seen what happened in Australia and in Canada with this.
Right. And it's still going
on.
Beta testing, right. And they were very successful in the last one when they forced everybody to think that they had to go get the shots to keep their job. Or, you know, I still want to travel, so I went and got the shot. You know, I was like, man, you're crazy.
She wanted to travel, so she went and got the shot. And after talking about it, you know, she's had problems. And she knows she probably shouldn't have, but she just wanted to travel.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to go out to eat.
I want $1 million, but I'm not going to go rob a bank for it. I mean, you have to use common sense when applying yourself to certain situations. And if, you know, somebody who's out to get me tells me I need to take something without even telling me what it is, I don't view that as a threat.
Is that your, one of the background noises back again? Got your microwave going, Joe?
Nope, I'm outside.
I'm messing with you, bud. Watching your neighbors.
They actually shut it down, so
yeah,
this
it's absolutely come back. Yeah, it's absolutely come back again.
You're hearing it on your end?
Yeah.
Oh, well,
yeah, I don't know what's going on with the noise. Probably solar flares. I don't know. The sun, that's been really active lately. I don't know if anybody follows that, but...
Yeah, no, absolutely.
All right, guys, we'll be right back. Quick break here.
Yeah, it absolutely could be something going on. I mean, we're fixing to have an eclipse and stuff, so, I mean, there is no telling.
Right.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth. Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
Back. We should have these audio issues cleared up again. Yeah, we were just talking about that. There's something going on with the interwebs or something, and I don't think it's anybody's fault necessarily. I think just there's some sort of issue. But I do got to hand it to Reb. You know, at least he's got a positive attitude, and you know, I wish you're right, Joe. I wish. I'd meet, you know, 30, 40-year-olds with that kind of attitude, but instead they're, a lot of them are pacifists and, you know, just don't see the danger that we're talking about, you know.
Well, they're just all waiting for Israel to say go, you know. So as soon as Israel tells them they can go fight, they'll be in it. They'll be like, oh, yeah, time to go.
Right.
Israel said go.
Israel's in the suicide move right now. Today they hit Hezbollah, and... several dozen people killed. So
they hit Syria yesterday.
Yeah.
Right.
Going after so-called Iranians.
I wouldn't be at all surprised if those three red heifers are over there getting burnt, or already have been.
Well, they already gave Trump the crown for the Moshiach crown. That College of Rabbis done gave Trump the silver crown of the Moshiach, or whatever you call it. Yeah, they're serious about that shit. Yeah, no, they think fucking Trump is the Moshiach.
Wow.
They know Trump is the Moshiach, I should say.
So then the election's in the bag, right?
For the Moshiach.
Sure.
Now you don't know whose side's good and who, you know. At this point, I get rid of them all. You're all in the same bag. Your bloodline, everything has to go.
Absolutely.
Now proven I can't trust none of you.
Another year, they'll have almost every Christian in American, Christian American converting to Judaism.
Yep, to fight the Muslims, which religion was also created by the Jesuits or the Jews. Same as Christianity, it all stems from the same thing.
Yep.
They just rewrite the story. I mean, I'm a Star Wars buff. I got toys from
Star Wars
when they come out in the 70s. I've been on it since, and it's the exact same story as the Bible story. It's good versus evil, white versus the dark, or light versus dark,
Jabba
white versus
Hutt.
Black. Yeah, Jabba.
you're right.
Star Wars, what was her, Christy? No. Jabba had her as a dancing slave. What's her name?
Princess Leia.
Yeah, what was her name? Carrie Fisher.
Carrie Fisher.
Yeah. Well, she was hot back then.
She
dead now. She died or something.
Yeah, she did.
She died suddenly, or
no?
Oh, okay.
Just old age complications, things like that. From what I can recall. Yeah, but Star Wars is the exact same story as the Bible. You know, it's the exact same story that dates back to the first monotheistic religion, Zohar. So it's just a rewrite. That's all they do. And I think with every new civilization, every new catastrophe or reset event that takes place, there's a brand new shiny god that pops out. And they say you have to worship it like this. But it all dates back to pre-Mesopotamian, pre-Sumerian, ancient Babylonian, you know, sun worship.
Right. Right. No, I agree. Hey, we got Mike in Kentucky. You guys will like Mike. He's a good old boy.
I don't like Mike already.
You like Mike, I tell you.
He's right next door.
It's me again, Margaret. Are you naked?
What's up, Mike? How you doing, buddy?
Oh, anything higher than you are. Hopefully nobody's that high tonight, or this morning for me. So I demonstrated live on the air several times how digital noise can get into microphones, and I realize, you know, you could be a proximity to any number of these processors that can cause some of that stuff is what it sounded like to me. But I had started using a little Motorola 757 phone that I found at a Goodwill or somewhere, and bought a charger for it and put a SIM chip in it from somebody else's phone that was going to quit using it. And I could hear it get into microphones probably 3 feet away, pinging the tower when I had turned it totally off and was charging it. And so it turned itself on and started doing a lot of that type of processor noise. And I picked up a laptop and put live on the air, put it over top of a, you know, like a DJ microphone. And you could hear that same sort of digital noise.
Yeah, the feedback we're getting here tonight is very strange. I've been broadcasting for a long time. I've heard all kinds of feedback, but I have never heard feedback like that. I'd almost say it's the sun or something.
Well, maybe you're hearing it different than it's coming over the air, because I could hear everybody still, but I could hear that, you know, it sounded more like...
It's gotten so bad with us, I can't even hear them, and they can't hear, and none of us can hardly hear each other. And it's like a...
I didn't have any problems. I could hear everybody. I didn't experience it at all.
I mean, it's deep.
It was more in the background for over-the-air listening in, but no, I don't know how they isolate so much of that digital processor noise from getting into audio equipment, because the microphone's basically are analog, and the speakers and stuff, they have to have some kind of shielding around the processors.
Yeah, I don't think it was us. I don't think it was any of them.
Yeah.
I think it was just network. I mean, even today, my wife was thinking, she asked me earlier, you know, when I got up, she was like, I think the internet, the bill is due because the internet.
Yeah.
Oh. And so I came out here to the shack and called, and it wasn't even due yet. And I was like, no, it ain't that. So,
well, right before I called in earlier tonight, and I'm trying to share out the links to the show, all of a sudden my internet just went slow as syrup or something, you know. I'm trying to post around on different platforms, and it just grinded to a halt. I had to sit there and wait for like 5 minutes for a page to load. Reminded me of dial-up.
Yeah, that's right. I remember dial-up. You know what I remember about dial-up the most?
The modem.
You'd have to wait 15 minutes to download a picture of the ugliest naked woman you've ever seen in your life. You know, like a big old hairy woman. Looks like she ain't never seen a razor, heavy makeup.
Kind of glad I missed that.
Yeah, man.
I remember trying to check my email with 9 kilobytes a second on DSL, and it was like an old teletype. Remember teletype? Mm-hmm. You could see each letter coming onto the screen. I'm like, wow. That was 2011. By the way.
Wow.
Yeah.
And look at how fast the stuff is now. What we're dealing with now.
I think we're paying for 25 down and 5 up, and most of the time we're getting about 12 down and 3 up or less.
Yeah, and that's not how it was sold to us. It was sold to us as the internet will be free to everybody. All we got to do is take care of all this infrastructure, and it'll be free for everybody.
Right.
Phone companies got all kinds of free money to hang all kinds of fiber that's not being used. I talked to a fiber technician years ago, trying to ask him how many times a prism card could split a signal, and he's like, well, it depends on the power of the card. And I said, well, could it be 16 times? And he just looked at me, and I said, what about backhauling? When you use a prism card to split a signal, can signals come back through that fiber and get into the network? And he's like, packing up his stuff and walking away. He didn't want to talk to me anymore. I think I made him think about some things that he'd been installing. I don't know. But, yeah, there's just back doors and everything, so who knows when they try to interfere with us. But we are at peak solar, so if you get to see the eclipse, you might see a solar flare, they're thinking.
You got a better chance of seeing it than I do in Georgia or Jeff in North Carolina. Its trajectory should go over Mexico, Texas, and curve up. It'll go through, I think, really Egypt.
I drove down to Cookeville, Tennessee, and it was definitely worth the trip. And there were so many people that I was trying to convince to go and sneak into Tennessee on the backside, you know. Once they saw how my 9-year-old experienced that, and everybody was like, oh, wow, this is, my brother was like, is this even real? You know, he was freaked out by it. But it's worth the drive if you can figure out where to stage, like, the night before, and then have options of 4 or 5 directions to go looking for blue sky in Missouri or maybe Illinois, you know.
Travis should probably see some stuff in Alaska, even though it's, you know, everybody's saying what you're saying. I'm thinking probably in a lot of places where you see stuff, you should see even more of it, maybe.
You'll see a little tiny sliver of a shadow on the sun, maybe.
I won't see
going out 400 miles.
About the eclipse itself. You're talking about the eclipse itself.
Right.
I'm talking about strange lights and stuff in the sky.
Yeah, I've seen
pretty much right under it within about 80 miles of either side of that black line. So, I mean, it's skirting western Kentucky and There's some places. There's going to be masses, just mass of people. I'm trying to go to a rural area or two, depending on where the blue sky is. Exactly.
There's a lot of chatter about this event taking place. You know, it's creating a double cross that's now occurred in a very short time span. And then you have the red heifers that's come of age for sacrifice. It's in Israel right now. Even CERN is cranking up April 8th when this takes place. They're also shooting three kinds of different rockets. NASA's scheduled on the same time, same day. So I don't know if they're trying to crack the glass ceiling or do whatever they're doing, but there's a lot of weird stuff going on with this eclipse. And it's one that only possibly occurs every 400 years, and for it to do what it's doing with this double cross trajectory, they ain't seen nothing like this. So it's the first time that's happened.
Well, I know. Well, back in 1977.
Also, did you guys hear about the cicadas that are supposed to come out the same year, the 13 year and the 17 year? That's supposed to be this year. They're both coming out at the same time.
I got a map of those. They go through western Indiana, through southern Ohio, and into eastern Kentucky. But there's all different kinds that come out slightly overlapping each other. It's not, if you've ever experienced that, after about 2 weeks, you're like, please die.
Yeah, we got them down here. We get them down here seasonally.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people don't realize. There are some that come out about every 2 years, and they overlap.
Oh, okay.
Not just 17 years. But they're not locusts. They're cicadas, and a lot of old eastern Kentucky folks say it's a biblical sign, but that, you know, the locust of the Bible was grasshoppers, or a big fat grasshopper in Egypt that eats all the wheat, you know. The plague of grain-eating stuff, locusts, not our, you know, cicadas. Jar flies is very similar. If you've ever seen a jar fly, they come. They're
out. They've just been putting out so much garbage with this eclipse that, you know.
Yeah. My first telescope was 1977. I think it was a El Cheapo J.C. Penney, and I say it was cheap. It was expensive for my parents, but it wasn't made very good. And there was all these preachers and TV news hyping up the planets are going to line up, and I watched and watched and watched, waiting for them planets to line up. And they're staggered across the sky when they line up straight out from the sun. They don't actually line up like the old plastic model in the classroom. And this lineup that they're talking about this time, it's the normal path that they take across the sky from east to west. They'll look like they're kind of in a line, but they're still, you know, in their normal plane of the ecliptic, as they say, and spread out on that line. So they're not really lined up, and I don't know whether Mercury is on this side or the other side of the sun, but you might catch a glimpse of Mercury, which is not much to see, this little spot in the sky, unless you've got a telescope to see a crescent of it. Same thing with Venus. Venus will definitely... I saw Venus at the last one, and I grabbed up my binoculars, and I could see Regulus beside the sun, but it was at a solar minimum, so there wasn't much corona, you know. This time there may be a big old fog of corona around it, so I'm hoping.
Keep in mind, there's also a comet that's in trajectory as well.
Very doubtful you can see that. I mean, it's getting to where you can make it out with binoculars if you have a really good pair and you put them on a tripod. But it'll have to flare up quite a bit.
Mile tail on it.
It doesn't get dark enough to see that stuff. You'll barely be able to see probably Venus and maybe Jupiter. If you've got a telescope set up and you're ready to go, you might aim up there and see this thing and take a CCD image of this comet. You'd be better off to wait till dark and catch a picture of it then. But when the eclipse is going on, it's only going to last about 3 to 4 minutes at max. You're going to be wanting to watch it, you know, and the weird shadows before and after. Mm-hmm. It's very quick, but the totality is a full sensual experience because it gets cold, the birds quit chirping, the animals go, what's going on? You know, the chickens will go roost, and then they'll crow afterwards because it gets bright again. So it's a really neat thing to see and then ponder how unique our Goldilocks spot is in the entire creation. It's very easy to see that we're, or think that we're, the centerpiece of this vast cosmos, you know.
Right.
Which philosophically, I think, is easier to accept than physically. You look out into the cosmos and you see all this stuff.
Yeah, there's really just a lot of weird stuff they're putting out there beforehand. They're getting people all drummed up, worked up.
Right.
You know, go buy prepper supplies. Like, you know, they've done this so many times before. So,
well, we were at the Dayton Air Show, and then I was at a little trade days called Preston Court Days, and it doesn't take a very big crowd to run out of cell phone channels, where all you can do is text message, or you can maybe use a Facebook app or something to contact people. We were selling parking spaces for a Boy Scout troop, and we couldn't communicate with them. So that was only about 6,000 or 8,000 people jammed into this little place called Preston. Same thing at the Dayton Air Show, and you can visually see at the Dayton Air Show, what, 5 or 6 cell phone towers, but you couldn't call anybody because there was, you know, 10,000 people there.
Mm-hmm.
So...
yeah.
There's 35, 40 million people concentrating on blue sky areas. You're not gonna be, I hope you can call 911 if you need to. So
that's a good point. I never thought about that. Yeah, we got all these people just in one rural area that's not used to all these people.
Yep.
Yeah, that's
then
that's
they're
a really
live
good point.
Streaming and broadcasting.
They're trying to. I don't think they'll be able to. People just need to take a regular old camera or something and record it without having to worry about cell phone. That's what they need to do. But I haven't heard any homeland preppers or, you know, any of these official announcements talking about that. Please don't stream your video. Record it and upload it later. You know.
Yeah, they're going to listen to that.
Some people will, because you're going to get a better recording if you record it rather than to try to stream it. You know,
I agree.
And wait till you get, you're having to fight the bandwidth. Unless you're a first responder, like police or fire or emergency management people that have what's called a band 14 phone that has no compression on it. I've been trying to figure out how to join a volunteer fire department and get one of those.
Yeah.
Well, you can go with P25, man. That'd be fine, too.
Well, there's some satellite-based stuff that's supposed to be out this year, but it's probably ridiculous. I'll let you guys go. Finish up the show, I guess. Or have a great weekend.
Well, man, Mike, you appreciate you calling in, man. You've got about, I don't know, 5-8 minutes, so you're welcome to hang out with us the rest of the show. Or
I sure
take
can,
off.
But I hate to hog the rest of the time.
No, man, we've been just spitballing here, just on all sorts of fun topics and... Yeah, I'm not sure where to take the thing now, but okay. Which one?
Joe.
Poor Joe.
Joe.
Well, I could hear something. Didn't really, on my end, it wasn't that loud. I could certainly hear.
No, it wasn't that loud that time, but it was starting to, get loud.
Right. So a lot of people are trying to talk about this bridge thing, and I have a hashtag on Facebook called hashtag constructive fraud that is the internet, and other ones like hashtag IC reach that is hashtag X key score. I think about anything is hackable before it's put on the market. I mean, we saw what happened with Cherry Blossom. All the router companies just rolled over and let the NSA or whoever, the intelligence community in general,
Israel and
Amdocs,
you mean?
Well, not just Amdocs. It was the Cherry Blossom firmware had backdoors in all the routers. And Julian Assange, which I just read, they're trying to still trying to fight that out with extraditing him. But he had no choice, really, because he tried to get the router companies to fix it. He said, you guys realize that you're... routers are compromised, and there's this tool for sale on the dark web that anybody can set up a fake coffee shop, you know, Wi-Fi router and inject a contagion into people's laptops and phones, and then they take it home, handshake to their router, and anybody that handshakes to their router, gets it, and they spread it like wildfires. It was called Cherry Blossom. Well, it went on for like 6 months. I first heard about it in like February of, might have been 2017. I can't remember the year. But by June the 9th.
I always thought Cherry Blossom was a part of Eternal Blue.
Well, it was some kind of contagion that was in the Wi-Fi routers. And so once it hit the mainstream news, it took Linksys 9 days. And I was actually going to buy an old router from 2007 because it had detachable antennas, and I was going to try to use parabolic dishes or, you know, coffee can shotgun to use it for a video link. I had a guy tell me he could shoot video with those 25 miles. I was like, okay, that's what I need, you know. And so I was about to buy this thing, and that story hit the mainstream news, and Linksys rolled out stuff that they said they wouldn't even support, like that 2007 router. It was obsolete by a couple of years. They had firmware to fix that. Had new downloads to fix stuff in 9 days for all their models. Now, that to me is evidence of guilt. They knew it was there. They didn't want to fix it.
Right.
Because all their operatives were using it.
Exactly.
And it had been for sale for the dark web for who knows how long. Julian Assange just happened to get somebody telling him about it, and he started fishing around. I believe that was in the Vault 7 releases. So,
right.
Anyway, yep.
Yeah. Nothing happened with all that stuff.
Fun stuff. Well,
yeah, stuff happens. He's locked up. He's locked up at Belmarsh Prison. That's what happened out of it.
Yeah, they're going to make an example out of him.
Well, they caught him with two bar floozies in what country was that? They have a no-drop policy, even though one of them, he can't face his accusers because probably one of them was CIA, and they had what's called sex by surprise. He took home a couple of bar flies, and the next morning he tried to go at them again after they were sobered up, and they said no. So he got charged with what they call sex by surprise, and one of them left the country. And they wouldn't drop the charges. Then he got extradited to England by request, I'm sure, of the...
Well, I'm sure those barflies didn't have anything to do with the CIA or anything like that. They was just nobodies. Just nobodies.
Same thing is depicted in the movie Snowden, where they went after that banker, which I heard was that guy that claims to be the devil's banker. I'm trying to remember his name.
Larry Fink.
He's on... No, I'm actually friends with the guy on LinkedIn. I'm friends with the guy on LinkedIn. I just cannot remember his name, but they set him up for a drunk driving conviction. They waited, you know, got him drunk at a bar, and then let him get out in his car, and they pulled him over. But in the movie, yeah, they depict it different. They depict it as a banker and the daughter, and that's where you get to see the graphing techniques for all the X key score data in the basement room where the NSA guy or CIA guy tells Snowden, well, you got a little Snow White in you. You know, that's a pretty good scene. Hey, is that the show?
Well, let me tell you, Assange and Snowden, all the drops and secrets that they put out, it is very funny that neither one of them ever put out anything on Israel.
Right.
Oh, well, hey, we've been
hey guys, we're at the end of the show, unfortunately. Wish we could stay longer, right. But...
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, yeah, thanks for calling in. Call in next time. Joe,
I'll try.
Sorry about the audio issues. It's all your fault.
Hey.
Jeff,
yeah,
appreciate you calling in again, too, man. Thank you, guys.
All right. See y'all later.
Hey, we'll talk to you guys later. And everybody have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week. Take care.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.